He's done it again. The man who in 2011 promised Israel and the world, America has Israel's back. That man has stabbed them in the back yet again. Barack Hussein Obama is no friend of Israel, not at all. You can't believe that. In fact, there are many who think he is flat-out anti-Semitic. I might tend to agree with them. The United Nations handed Israel an early Hanukkah present on Friday, December 23, 2016. That severely biased organization, don't you think they are, passed what is known as United Nations Resolution 2334 on that day. The resolution describes Israel's West Bank towns and East Jerusalem neighborhoods as settlements. Settlements, in other words, you don't have a right to be there. Which, in fact, means that those territories do not belong to Israel. The implication of the resolution is that the United Nations is, in fact, the owner of those settlements, which have been illegally constructed and occupied by Israelis. Resolution 2334 of the United Nations deems those settlements as a, quote, major obstacle to peace and in the pursuit of a so-called two-state solution, end quote. No more of those settlements, and get out of those that you're already in, Israel. In fact, UN Resolution 2334 actually calls the settlements in the West Bank and East Jerusalem Palestinian territory. Again, Palestinian territory. And yet at the same time, this hypocritical organization claims that this and other disputed matters should be resolved by negotiations between the parties themselves, that is, the Palestinians and the Israelis. Ah, what a farce. So much for recommended negotiations, United Nations. 14 nations which passed the resolution and voted for it have already decided. The matter's over with. Further, the resolution says that Jewish West Bank and Jerusalem settlements have no legal validity. None whatsoever. In reality, says the United Nations, Israel is an invader, an occupier, and the implication is that the United Nations may someday take action to rectify the wrong. So now comes Donald John Trump, president-elect, who gets to work January 20, it can't come too soon, one who has promised to recognize Jerusalem as the eternal capital of the land of Israel. Wow, would that be a slap in the face to that biased United Nations? And to move the American embassy to Jerusalem. Boy, that would be a second slap in the face, both cheeks. In short, Trump has promised to challenge and change the United Nations and the Obama administration's pro-Palestinian and anti-Israel Jewish decisions, both of them, you know. If you're anti-Israel, you're also anti-Jewish. And Trump is going to do that even if America stands alone. Hey, make it happen, Mr. Trump. Make it happen. You promise that, and we the people hold you to it. Actually, the Obama America, which, once again, thankfully only has a few days to go, has already voted against Israel in its anti-Semitic stance. Our vote was in actuality a no vote, but rather an abstention at the United Nations with regard to UN Resolution 2334. We abstained. We never bothered to vote. The deceitful Obama administration could then tell the world and America and Israel that it did not in fact vote for UN Resolution 2334, but merely abstained. Ah, baloney. The problem is, of course, that America would have had the right to veto the resolution, and if it had, that one veto would have defeated Resolution 2334, no matter the votes of 14 other countries. Think of those nations who did vote for the resolution and against Israel. Nations like France, and China, and Russia, and Germany, and 10 others who voted against Israel, and in so doing, essentially for the Palestinians. They were members of the United Nations Security Council, along with 10 others, and the United States. No matter that the U.S. has traditionally vetoed all such resolutions, we have, you know, Obama's failure to do so was viewed by the world as one final shot at his Israeli rival Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and what a shot it was, Mr. Obama. One Israeli official said the following, "This is the last sting from President Obama, an act that revealed the true face of the Obama administration. Now the world can see what we have been facing for the past 8 years." Well said. and amen. Both Israel and the United States Congress have threatened to respond by cutting funding to the United Nations and aid to any of the nations that promoted and voted for the resolution. Couldn't agree more. Get it done, U.S. Congress. Get it done. You can be certain, House and Senate, that you will never face a veto from soon-to-be President Donald J. Trump, like you would have with Barack Hussein Obama. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu calls President-elect Trump a true friend of Israel. Netanyahu, though painted as a right-wing extremist the world over, is in fact in favor of a fair, equitable, and manageable two-state solution. Sometimes I wonder why. In fact, Netanyahu is in favor of Republican statements in the party platform, which calls for the establishment of comprehensive and lasting peace in the Middle East to be negotiated among those living in the region. That would not be the United Nations. The Republican platform further declares full opposition to any measures intended to impose an agreement or to dictate borders or other terms on the Palestinians and Israelis. Again, all matters to be decided by them. Trump has appointed David Friedman, a lawyer and associate of Trump, active in his campaign as ambassador to Israel. Friedman has been quoted as saying the following: "There has never been a two-state solution, only a two-state narrative." In other words, nothing but talk. Many people think he is right, for in fact and in public utterances, the Palestinians, influenced by the terrorist organization Hamas, want only the elimination of the State of Israel and the extinction of the Jews who live there. They don't want peaceful coexistence. They want the Jews dead and gone. The goal of Hamas-Palestinian is not a two-state solution, not peace, but that every Jew in the Middle East should be buried at the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea. I've heard that statement time and again. Buried at the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea. In June, David Friedman described the supporters of J Street, a mainly Jewish group that advocates a two-state solution, as far worse than capos. Can you believe this? This is a Jewish organization describing fellow Jews as far worse than capos, Jews who turned in their fellow Jews in the Nazi death camps. Can you believe that? Friedman was asked to retract those statements, but he refused. In fact, Friedman went on to state regarding Obama that he is in fact anti-Semitic, stating the following, quote, "There is the blatant anti-Semitism emanating from our president," end quote. So, presidential action seems to confirm such an accusation, does it not? I think it does. And then there is Secretary of State John Kerry, soon to be gone along with Obama. I think that's a good thing. Kerry has made the pursuit of Israeli-Palestinian peace and the two-state solution a major goal of his tenure, having conducted intensive negotiations for nearly a year until they collapsed in spring 2014. Interestingly, that came after the Palestinian Authority, the PA, announced the creation of a unity government with Hamas. Hamas, the terrorist group sworn to Israel's destruction. And shortly thereafter, in 2014, Hamas started a war with Israel from its Gaza stronghold, the third such war since Israel vacated Gaza, with regard to settlements in 2005. War or peace, Palestinian Authority Hamas? Which is it? Which is it? Secretary of State Kerry makes no effort to hide his disdain for Prime Minister Netanyahu. Kerry accuses him of leading the most right-wing coalition in Israeli history. That is so even though, again, Netanyahu ordered a settlement freeze in the West Bank and East Jerusalem and wants a two-state solution. But unfortunately, such moves did nothing to advance the peace negotiations. The only real obstacle in the negotiations to peace, says the Wall Street Journal, is the Palestinian rejection of Israel's right to exist as a Jewish state in any borders, much less the present borders. It must have been so very reassuring to Israel when President-elect Trump urged Israel, after the admonitions of John Kerry, to stay strong. Good words, Mr. Trump. Stay strong, Israel. At least stay strong until he, Trump, becomes president January 20. The war on Israel never ends, says Douglas J. Feith. There is every good possibility that will change when Trump takes office. Make it happen, Mr. Trump. Make it happen as you have promised. Do that. We're watching. Listen to the comments of Messrs. Kerry, Netanyahu, and Trump, and see how different they are. Kerry says the following, "We cannot in good conscience say nothing when we see the hope of peace slipping away." Say what? And Netanyahu, "Israelis do not need to be lectured about the importance of peace by foreign leaders." Amen. And Mr. Trump, "We cannot continue to let Israel be treated with such total disdain and disrespect." Well said, Mr. Trump. Quite a difference, don't you think, in those words? Israel, hardly as large as the entire state of New Jersey, is the only democracy in the entire Middle East, the only one. It is surrounded by hundreds of millions of Arabs and Muslims, so many blatantly anti-Semitic and hostile to Israel. Millions of square miles of other territories, and a world, and especially a United Nations, which is hostile to its very existence. Wow. One wonders at times how this little nation can ever survive. We, the United States, are now, and always have been, its only true friend, and ally, and supporter. The anti-Semitic Obama administration has done its very best to destroy all of that. Trump has promised to change all of that, change it back as things were once before. Oh, do it, Mr. Trump, do it. And so now, my friends, to Scripture, the Bible. We are told in the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament, in Genesis, that the Lord God will bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse Israel. That is an eternal divine warning for those nations which come against the promised land and the very special chosen people. Many Christian scholars think that America has been so very blessed and prosperous through the years because of its support and even love for Israel and the Jews. And not wishing to experience the wrath of the Almighty, I fully agree. Hear the biblical words which so clearly describe the current state of affairs and the promises of the Almighty in the book of the Psalms, chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Hear these wonderful words. "Soon we will see you held in derision, nations against Israel. Heaven will put you to shame. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing?" You ain't getting away with it. "The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord," oh my soul, "and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh at them. The Lord shall hold them in derision." You gotta be kidding me, nations of the world. "Then he shall speak to them in his wrath." Ooh, boy, I wouldn't want to be in the way of those words or those actions. "And distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion." Hey, that land's mine, nations of the world. It's mine, says the Almighty God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That land, the promised land, Israel, that's mine. And I will keep it, and I will defend it. You know what? Any sober nation and right-thinking individual should never take those words and those promises lightly, don't you think? The Scriptures say the Lord God will protect this special land, protect it, and the holy city of Jerusalem, that's his, and its special mount, the Temple Mount, and the people, the Jews, for his very special reason, chosen to be his. No nation, no matter its military strength, can come against that, none whatsoever. Men can talk about peace, but none can deliver. They really can't. All they can do is deliver war, and that isn't going to work. You know, peace, the peace of the Middle East and the peace of Jerusalem, comes only from the Lord God Almighty and his special Messiah. All right-thinking men and women hope and pray for that, as do I, and I hope you do. And we can for now only lift up our eyes from whence our hope cometh. We do not know when that hope will come, but we do know it will. And then, and perhaps only then, will there be peace. the peace of Jerusalem, of Israel, and the world. And eventually, through Messiah, that peace will, in fact, come to the world, and really in no other way. No peace can ever come from the United Nations or any other nation. So we watch, and we work, and we pray. And there is work in Israel to be done, Mr. Trump, lots of it. Make it happen as you have promised. Make it happen, Mr. Trump. Make it happen.